This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are closing in on the end of the regular season. Only 2 weeks left.
I can't believe it.
Last dance, last chance for romance. That's what they say, the old baseball saying.
If you, I don't know, because you said last chance for romance. Mm-hmm. If you weren't a baseball fan and you were like, I'm going to pick 2019 to choose my favorite team. So this is last chance for romance, last dance. Mm-hmm. Who do you think a person would pick? Let's say you know like nothing about who a bandwagon team, you know what I mean? Like you're coming in completely blind.
I think Dodgers.
Yeah,
maybe that's biased because we live in LA and because I've had like over the last maybe 2 years, like a couple of friends who really got into baseball and got into the Dodgers.
It's a good team to get into.
But they're really good.
They have Bellinger.
They have some really charismatic players, some really good players, not even necessarily the same players.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I was going to say the Astros, but I think this year it'd probably be the Dodgers.
Yeah. Astros would be probably second choice. And then Brewers, maybe?
I was going to say maybe Twins, just because like if you watch baseball and you loved home runs.
Yeah.
But so then Twins or Yankees would probably be... I mean, everyone's hitting home runs, but...
Yeah.
Braves?
I guess I find it hard to detach that question from like geographical proximity a little bit, where it's like...
Oh, I guess I was thinking if you're living in like Australia or something.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But in my mind, it's like
you're sort of a million miles away, no matter what.
Yeah, and you're just like, I'm gonna start watching. Like, if I decided to start watching like soccer.
Yeah. Right. So like, it probably it'd be a good team. Yeah. And
or like cricket.
Yeah, I think Dodgers. I'm actually thinking about soccer because like I've sort of tried to do that before and it hasn't really stuck, but I've done enough research to be like, oh, I want like a good team, but not like Man U, you know, not the Yankees, don't want to be a front runner. And I think Dodgers are good because it's like major city, really good organization, they haven't won the World Series in a while, a little bit snake bit.
Yeah.
I think that's a good answer. Well, now that we've gotten that figured out, thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Have a good one. We're going to talk a little bit about some of these major injuries that have hit the pennant race and how they will affect the playoffs. And we're also going to talk about the Red Sox firing Dave Dombrowski, which we didn't get a chance to talk about yet, and which was, I think, pretty shocking in general. But before we do that, we want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio and to Off the Bench Baseball for their continued support. Check out all the podcasts at boardwalkaudio.com and all the baseball analysis at offthebenchbaseball.com.
Stretch run analysis.
Stretch run analysis, stretch run podcasts. they don't have anything to do with baseball, but they are occurring during the stretch run. So they're stretch run podcasts. These injuries... not fun. Christian Yelich out for the rest of the season with a fractured kneecap.
He doesn't need surgery though. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he might be back in 6 to 8 weeks, which would be the World Series.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
if anything, I guess it would be sort of a Kyle Schwarber 2016 scenario where maybe he DHs in the World Series. But even then I think it's pretty unlikely. I mean,
they have to get there without him.
And it would have to be sort of the shorter end of that time frame anyway. Because 8 weeks from now, the World Series will be over. Yeah.
It's a huge bummer. No one
huge bummer
is happy
for baseball.
About it, right?
I'm glad to hear you say that even as a Cubs fan.
You never want to win. I mean, you never want people to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously everyone... that's a fan of a team that's when this happened, when you're a Cubs fan or a Cardinals fan, obviously you think, oh, well this makes our job easier, but this it's not the way that you want it to happen. And plus it's like he was chasing 50-30, which is just a great baseball storyline.
50-40 even.
Yeah.
He could have gotten 40 stolen bases if he was running.
And so it's like,
Acuna's going to get 40-40, by the way, it
probably.
seems like, which is exciting.
I still think that he has, I mean, it's like, what? I think he's like at 38, 36 or something right now. Or,
yeah, he's pretty close. It seems somewhat inevitable.
50-50.
50-50?
It's not going to happen. He has to hit 12 home runs.
You have to hit a home run a day, basically.
Well, I always remember, because Sammy Sosa hit 20 that in June in 98, and so I'm like, if that's possible.
Yeah, if you'll recall... Sammy Sosa was juiced up on roids at the time.
That's true, too. He's not going to get 50-50, but...
Maybe next year. That'd be cool.
If you were Acuna or Yelich... Well, Yelich is different. So if you were Acuna, they'll clinch soon, right? The Braves?
Yeah, for sure.
Why would you not steal every single time you're on first base after they've clinched? Just injuries?
Yeah, I guess. And you want to be... I mean, they're still sort of playing probably for home field advantage. They're in the first round.
Are they playing for home field advantage? For the first round? The Dodgers. There's no way they're catching the Dodgers.
Yeah, but they got a... Well, they're only three games behind the Dodgers, I think, right?
We were just looking at the standings.
You're right. I think they have 96 wins. Or they have 92 wins and the Dodgers have 96. So it's not impossible.
But they want to, and they're way ahead of St. Louis. I think if I were Acuna, and once it became clear that you were literally playing for nothing, other than staying healthy, then I would steal every single time I was on first base, and probably 70% of the time I was on second. I'd ask my teammates, I guess, if they're like, "Is this cool?"
Yeah, that would be the other thing. Is your manager cool with it? Is the team cool with it?
Why wouldn't you? Other than if you were like, no, I don't want you to break your thumb, which is like a legit thing. But otherwise, it's like if I was a teammate and he was like, I'll be like, yes, of course. Steal all you want. I don't care if I don't get an RBI unless it's, I guess, in your contract that you get a bonus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want him to steal a bunch.
I'm with you, but I feel like those things are simpler in a vacuum than they are in reality.
You're right. You know? Yeah, you're right. And there's always some ego that's like, don't take away my... It's distracting when I'm at bat.
Yeah, and also, like, you want the team to be in sort of, like, playoff shape for the start of the playoffs, so you don't... Start fucking around with stuff. I don't know. Those would be the arguments against, at least. But I'm with you, like, he should try to get 40-40.
If on the sliders, and if we could steal...
if somebody had a 40-40 season in our rec league...
Someone got 40 hits. I mean, I'm sure people have 40 hits. So, yeah, Yelich is a bummer regardless. I think that you would be a monster if you thought that Yelich getting injured, like if you were like happy about it.
Yeah. I think there probably are Cubs fans who feel that way and Cardinals fans who feel that way.
They are the worst.
For sure.
The worst of fans.
But like I wouldn't have assumed you felt otherwise, but I wonder, you know, if it does feel like an evening of the playing field for the Cubs and the Brewers, since Baez is also out for the year. It's like both teams losing their best player. You would prefer that they're both playing.
Yeah, of course. Again, like, when I say you're a monster, if you're happy, I meant, like, every fan has that thing inside of them that says, oh, great, this is going to make our job easy. Like, now we can focus on the Cardinals.
Right.
And you're not a monster for thinking that. But you're a monster if you're not also in the same breath saying, like, but this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, because it's Christian Yelich. Like,
yeah.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. I like him better than Bellinger. So I'm bummed, too, about not even having the MVP debates over now.
Yeah.
Like,
this is sort of like a meaningless distinction, but that being said, like, how do you think he's like the face of baseball?
Yelich?
Like, do you think he's more recognizable and or more popular than Trout, or who else would it be?
No, I don't think he's more popular than Trout, but I think that they did a good job with this dumb like Belly versus Yelly thing, and so I do think Bellinger and Yelich are right there.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know who else it would be. Verlander?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to
guess
who
it would be
somebody talk about
who's been around a while. I mean, I just, not that I, again, it's sort of a meaningless title or whatever, but Yelich, you know, was on the cover of the body issue. And I think, like, they've been doing a lot of campaigns with Bellinger and Yelich. And I do think, like, out of the three of them, like, Yelich is kind of the most naturally charismatic.
Because Trout famously shies away from this kind of thing. So, I think
even think there's like a weird thing of like, you know, the fact that he looks so much like Pete Davidson and that has been like memed. I just kind of wonder, like, Trout is obviously still the best, but like, if Yelich comes back and has another MVP caliber season, like, is he?
I think he is might,
Is he the Jeter to Trout's A-Rod in a way?
I think, yeah, I think so. I think he might be the like first person you think of for baseball, which is crazy because he plays in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but Trout plays in Anaheim, you know? It'd be different if either of them were on the Yankees, or if it'd also be different probably if like Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton was healthy and productive.
I think it's that's Judge's crown. Like,
Judge could
to
take
claim,
the crown, but he's got to stay healthy, yeah.
And I think Acuna could take it.
Yeah. It's just harder for Latin players, I think, because it is, you know, this is a English-speaking country. Like, it's harder for them to sort of do the endorsements and do the interviews and stuff like that.
But, you know, also white people get more opportunities.
Yeah,
so, like,
this is true.
Yeah, but I do think it's, I think if Aaron Judge had another monster season, because I feel like you could have made the argument that Aaron Judge was the face of baseball last year.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt.
He's also like, just got a really big face.
Yeah, he's got a big, he does have a big face.
He's got a big noggin.
But he does have like, he does have that huge smile. He loves doing interviews. He's interviews. It's like, and again, not that Trout's bad interviews, but Trout just like only wants to play baseball. And it seems like Judge fit into New York really well. And then I think that's the same with Jeter. It goes a mile if you can fit into what it's like to play in New York, because then you're going to almost automatically be the face of baseball if you're the face of the Yankees.
Yeah. I do think, like, with Trout, you know, it's kind of a shame that he's so reticent almost, because I do think actually he's super likable. And I say that, I mean, I always thought that, but when I went to a game in Anaheim a few weeks ago and sat in the outfield, which I had never done down there, and like, he has a really good rapport with the fans in the outfield. He tosses them a ball after every warm up, and he sort of like will like kind of joke with them. And I'm like, I wish we saw a little bit more of that, like, natural ease from Trout and other avenues, but also, like, I'm sure he's way more comfortable on a baseball field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get like, wishing that in the sense of, like, as a baseball fan, you want... I mean, every baseball fan has to be jealous of basketball in the sense of, like, they have so many people that fill that...
Oh, yeah,
like, the role
sure.
in baseball has so few that they... You want anybody that's as good as Trout to be, like, be a superstar.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, that's not what you want, dude. Like, yeah. I totally respect him for just being like, I'm great at this, but I want to play it. I want it to be on this like micro level, and it's hard for me to be. I see what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm like, you do you, man. Let's.
Well, I think, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's under no obligation to like be somebody he's not.
But I feel some people think that he, I feel that there are people that think like,
oh,
he
definitely.
It's the same thing.
Because
I mean, it didn't happen
best,
in basketball
you have
with
to...
like, Barkley saying, I'm not a role model.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't want to be that, then you shouldn't have to be. Yeah. But I get it. Like, it would be nice if maybe the best player who's ever played also was like able to.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the incredible thing about LeBron, right? Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's many incredible things about LeBron, but the fact that he's arguably the best to ever play, and he's so savvy generally when it comes to the media, and he's so like charismatic personally.
Yeah.
The fact that all came like wrapped in one package is like pretty astounding.
I do think if Harper was as good as Trout, we'd have that with Harper.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because I think LeBron also probably started preparing for it when he was 16.
For sure. Yeah.
And so did Harper.
Yeah.
And Trout, I mean, obviously believed in himself, but probably wasn't gearing himself up to be
the
face
way.
Of baseball.
Well, I mean, he, you know, came from a place where nobody cared about baseball as well, like, which is
that's
why
true.
He got drafted so low. Is like, they would never cultivate somebody from like South Jersey to be a baseball superstar if they cultivated anyone to be a baseball superstar, which I guess, Harper would be the guy.
Yeah, but I think he probably would, if he was that good, we would have more of a like LeBron type of face of baseball. But unfortunately, Harper,
I do wonder, like, not so Tim Anderson is like on the verge of winning the batting title, and not that Tim Anderson is ever going to be the best player in baseball, but I think like there is something that is cool about winning a batting title that is like, aside from, you know, hitting the most home runs, winning the home run title is probably like about the most impressive individual achievement, you can do statistically, right? Still in the like general mind of the fans.
Yeah.
Like batting,
people will remember who win batting titles.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Tim Anderson is super charismatic and almost like his background is as a basketball player. And so he came before he even started playing baseball is very much more in that mindset. And I think you can see that on the way he plays on the field. And I just wonder, like, if he can become a guy who's like kind of hitting 320 every season, which I don't know if that's actually possible,
right?
Even in baseball now, generally for anyone. But I wonder if like there he could sort of become like an old school, like, you know, really charismatic hitter.
Yeah, I think also the other interesting thing, like the whole deal about like baseball struggling on a national level, but it's still very successful on a regional level. And it's like the same thing. I feel like there are so many guys like that you like on your team. I'm not saying Tim Anderson isn't charismatic. I'm sure he's but I barely know anything about him because
right.
I never watched the White Sox.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so hard to promote baseball players at the national level because every team could say there are three guys on their team that are charismatic and like fun enough to be that are good. You know what I mean? Like, I think Anthony Rizzo could do it, but
sure.
I don't think he's never going to be the face of baseball.
Right. Well, he's not even the face of the Cubs.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I think it's just interesting to have, like, it's so weird how people like Tim Anderson are great for the White Sox and it's so hard for them to take that step. You know what I mean? It feels like NBA, every team belongs to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're fans and they do fan service, but and in the NFL, it's kind of the same way, but in baseball, it's so much like, this is my guy. These are my guys. I love. It's like Kike Hernandez. Like,
yeah.
The Dodgers fans love that guy.
So popular.
But Nick Castellanos, when he got traded to the Cubs, so like in the Reddit thread, so many Tigers fans were like, oh, you're going to love him. I miss him. And I was like, what? And he's so
that's
fun.
Surprising.
He's so fun to have on your team.
Interesting.
And you would never
well,
have known.
He's also like been lights out or like so
well,
red
yeah,
hot.
He has 15
so,
home runs in 40
yeah,
years.
Yeah, right. Like
yeah.
That's probably the bigger reason why
yeah,
he's fun
help.
To have on
yeah.
the team.
But I mean, he's like a spark plug. Like it's like truly like he's the personality that everyone's like, yeah, this is the kind of guy you want on your team.
Yeah.
But I would have never have known that.
Yeah, me neither. That's interesting. I didn't know that. And I've watched a lot of Nick Castellanos.
I mean, yeah, it probably comes out way more when he's on a team that's in a playoff hunt and he's doing well versus when he's on a team.
Yeah. And he's
not
the
to
new guy
games.
As opposed to like behind sort of Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder and Victor Martinez and Justin Verlander in
true.
Terms of the hierarchy
yeah.
and stuff. Before we get off the topic of the
injuries.
Of the injured guys, I do one thing that's sort of like crossed my mind is like with the way that baseball is changing. And it's sort of, I think you could boil down a lot of the changes, not all of it, but to like, it being a higher effort sport, pitch to pitch, where the batters are swinging harder, the pitchers are throwing harder, the ball is flying harder, right? So the fielders that affects the way that the fielders are playing. I wonder if, I hope not, but I wonder if there are going to be just more generally like season-ending injuries.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I mean, Yelich's is kind of a freak thing,
that's
like
a super
off the
freak
kneecap.
Thing. Yeah.
And like that
probably
would have happened regardless. Like, I don't think exit velocity necessarily is the reason
that his
kneecap
I think that
fractured.
Was a freak thing.
But I do just wonder, in sort of a more general sense, like, does the fact that, you know, the average exit velocity of every batted ball is going up and the average velocity of every pitch is going up, is that going to lead to more injuries from prominent players?
That's interesting. I wonder. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's even, I think most people agree that there are more arm injuries because pitchers are throwing harder.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's like not.
Yeah, that's not controversial.
Yeah, but like Baez is like a hairline fracture in his thumb. And again, like, I don't know if.
He got
know.
Hit by a pitch. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, like, I mean, you could get it, like, you can get a hairline fracture in your thumb from a 75 mile per hour
yeah.
pitch. So it's like, I see what you're saying. And you would think that, I don't know if it's going to be like a noticeable uptick. I could be very wrong. I would think maybe, I mean, because are they like running harder? I guess if they're in better condition, they are running faster. So you might pull a muscle. Like, I feel
yeah,
like, muscu-
I don't
like
think
muscular
it would be...
injuries, but I don't know if.
I don't know that it would be like necessarily because they're running harder on one specific play somebody gets injured, but like if it's sort of a cascade effect where like every every play that you were involved in as a player is like 5% higher effort than it might have been before because like you're trying to maximize the distance that your hits are going and I don't know.
I think that's just a random hypothesis.
I think
that there might be a slight uptick, but I don't. I guess, obviously we're neither of us are medical professionals, so
I guess it maybe is counterbalanced by improvements in training and nutrition as well as sort of the like biomechanics of. I just started reading MVP Machine and way that it starts out. The first anecdote is about Trevor Bauer. You know, trying out different pitches and at driveline to improve his slider before the 2018 season. So right when he became this kind of star pitcher as opposed to an average pitcher.
Yeah.
And then they have kind of some other players talking about like the data that they're given to improve their mechanics and stuff like that. So maybe like.
Maybe there's like a,
that will help pitchers stay healthy. I don't know if that would help pitchers stay healthy or not. It's either like, oh, your mechanics are better, so you're less likely to get injured, or we're adjusting your mechanics so your body is less used to the way in which you're throwing, so you're more likely to get injured.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think that it's almost like it's a race of training and all of that is trying to keep up with throwing harder, which is trying to keep up with, you know, like they're trying to outpace each other, so the injuries are gonna if that makes sense what I'm saying, you know, like it's
neither of those
two things are ever going to keep up with each other at the same rate, so you're probably gonna get injuries if the training lags behind the effort, but then if the effort lags behind the training, you'll also get injuries potentially. I don't know, that's a really good question.
Always going to be injuries. We were just talking before we recorded about how routine it is for athletes to have surgery versus the regular person, so they're not going to be prevented, but I hope they don't spike.
That's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
These changes, you know, in the way that baseball is played.
But Baez and Yelich are, freak injuries. Injuries that always happen to people, but, like, you can't attribute that to any, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but it is, I wouldn't say it's usual for, especially when you throw Jose Ramirez in, too.
Oh, right,
it's like, these are three, Ramirez, you know, it wasn't great in the first half, but was really good in the second half. Yeah. So I think you could say, like, probably these are three of the, like, 20 best players in baseball, right?
Yeah, well, and Trout's been injured, too.
And Trout's been,
but they're not, like, he's not, like...
He's not out for the year or anything.
But it's no fun.
Yeah, and Ohtani had surgery.
I'm starting to think that he's just going to end up being one of those dudes that never can play more than, like, 90 games a year.
Hope not. He did it in Japan.
I guess he was injured in his last year in Japan too.
Right?
I hope not too. It would be a real shame that we almost only got like a glimpse of Ohtani. But injuries make baseball less fun, especially in September.
For sure.
Even if it's like Trout, who's the only bummer about it is for individual excellence. Like the Angels are already out of it, but like you don't want to see Yelich go down. You don't want to see Ramirez go down, even though I don't like that team. Obviously, you don't want to see Baez go down. I think baseball-wide, that feels like a bad injury, right? People like Baez.
Yeah, for sure. Baez, I think, is the most popular player in baseball, actually. When we're talking about face of baseball. Like, when, at least, I watched whatever the Major League game was that they have during the Little League World Series. And this
against the Pirates.
Yeah. This is obviously small sample size, but they asked all of the Little League World Series players who their favorite player is.
And
Baez won with like, 70% of the vote
I was having a conversation with my wife a couple weeks ago. Cause I think we were just I was talking about like how long the team can stay together. Because I think news came out that they were like in talks with Bryant to extend or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about that and like the likelihood of being able to keep the core.
Boy, aren't our significant others like just really sweet to put up with us?
She's interested. She's sure interested.
She is.
She loves this. I think we talked about this before. Like she came in to my life when the Cubs were fun to watch, so she got fortune. I think she's invested as much as she can be.
It's not
like she came in with the Tigers where it's like, I'm sorry, I'm dragging you through this.
Yeah.
Or the White Sox. but not to interrupt your point,
when I do like my weekly White Sox podcast that I do for SoxMachine.com, every time I'm like, fucking White Sox lost again. And she's like, you need to just find a new team. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry.
It's also not like football where it's just a 4-month season where you're like, I just got to put up with this for four. Because I'm a Dolphins fan. They're going to be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Boy, that's like tangent on tangent. My point was, as we were talking about it, and I was like, and she was like, oh, so that's going to suck if we lose Bryant. And I was like, you know what? Like, we have to keep Baez. And I was like, I cannot imagine him in a different uniform. And I got like sad for like an hour. And I was like, Bryant would be a bummer. I would hate losing Rizzo, but it's like picture. I was like, just thinking about like Baez in like a Giants uniform or like a, like a Nationals. I was like, no, this sucks.
It's kind of interesting actually. Like maybe this is just me, but I feel like Bryant is a bit of an afterthought on the Cubs these days. Like he's obviously still good and still like a central part of the lineup, but like he was the MVP, right? Like he was like the superstar. And I would say like now he's definitely behind Baez in the pecking order, probably behind Rizzo.
I think maybe
equal to like Contreras in terms of like productivity and profile. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that Cubs fans love Bryant. Don't get me wrong. And I would be very sad to see Bryant go. So I don't want any Cubs fans to be like, we love him or like whatever, but you are right. Baez is the main attraction. Rizzo has more personality in the sense of like, I don't know. He's like really altruistic and like, people just seem to, like him. I think you're right, but I think we're also taking Bryant for granted. I think he's so good. And he went through that streak of being injured and not good.
Or not as good.
Not as good. And then since then, he's been good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it feels like he's been like striking out or grounding out with people. Like if it felt like he isn't the Bryant we want him to be, but we're probably wrong.
Yeah.
And then I think we're chasing the shiny new thing. Like we're chasing Contreras, who's having like a career year, or he was. He still is. When he came back, he's come back pretty hot.
It's just interesting. Like I feel like two or three years ago, like when we were having this like face of baseball thing, it would be like, well, maybe Bryant's it, you know,
no.
And he has not been that.
But I think he's kind of like a Trout type in that like he doesn't, I mean, he's fine in interviews, but he clearly doesn't, all he wants to do is play baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that he's not altruistic either, but Rizzo seems to like, Rizzo's just like, just such a nice, fun guy and like seems like you'd want to hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryant's just like a regular dude. I don't know. Or there's Nico Horner.
Yeah.
And you texted me, what are they going to do with Baez out and
or,
now that Russell's out?
But is he playing short or is he playing?
Yeah, he's playing short. Okay. And then I think it was Madden, it might have been Epstein, where like if when Russell comes back and then they were just like, we got Nico Horner. And so
I'm glad
it's like,
that they're over Russell.
I think they're just waiting for any excuse to be over Russell. But Nico Horner has been very fun to watch and he hit a home run in his first pitch ever in Wrigley.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, he could be terrible overall. I don't know. But everyone said they called him up too early, but I'm happy he's there.
Yeah. Well,
it takes the sting away from Baez.
That's good.
He'll be back for this.
As long as it's fun to watch. Because that, you know, that's really, I guess, the thesis of this discussion is like, man, injuries suck because they make baseball less fun.
Well, and especially if you go from Baez to Russell, who's one of the most difficult people to cheer for.
Yeah. At least the Brewers didn't replace Yelich with the domestic abuser.
But I can't imagine losing Yelich in the stretch run like this.
That's brutal.
Like, that's
really
like
brutal.
So, I mean, Baez, but it's not the same. He's not out for the season. And
you know what? It just reminded me of is like, and obviously everything comes back to Cubs and White Sox when we're talking, but 2008 when Carlos Quinton broke his wrist.
Oh, yeah.
with like 3 weeks to go and the White Sox were in first place and he was an MVP candidate. And suddenly it was like, oh shit. Well, now we got to try to make the playoffs and like just the upside of this team is capped. And
yeah.
Yeah. A real bummer.
I think that's what's tough is when it's like Yelich or Quentin, where it's like the drop off between Yelich and next best player is so significant.
I guess the Brewers do have, if any team has the lineup depth to like withstand it, it's like Brewers are right up there with like Dodgers and Astros in terms of like plug and play kind of like.
Yeah, but there's like no one's Yelich. Like,
yeah. He, oh,
like,
for
it's
sure.
Like losing Baez is
of
like
course.
You're losing the personality and the production, but it's like numbers wise, there are a lot of people like pretty close. Mm-hmm. Like just Yelich has been so good this year and he's so much better than anybody. Even if someone's playing well, he's so much better than them because he's like the second or third best player in baseball.
Yeah.
And that's just so brutal to lose someone like that. Yeah. But you're right. They have depth. They can still make the playoffs. It might be like a rallying cry.
Yeah. I mean, they've been playing well. They're currently, as we're recording this, they're a game back of the Cubs.
They're playing the Cardinals right now, so I'm definitely a Brewers fan.
Yeah.
This weekend.
It'll be a good race. Both wild cards should be exciting the rest of the way. And the NL Central should be as well. Yeah.
Speaking of an American League team who's out of the wild card race.
Ah, good segue. let's talk Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski. Yes, yeah, so Boston is officially out of it. They're 10 games behind Tampa Bay for the second wild card.
Not officially, but...
Well, not they haven't been eliminated, but they shall be.
Yeah.
And they fired Dave Dombrowski, who, of course, if you're a baseball fan, you might recall that the Red Sox won the World Series last year.
Or if you can remember 10 months ago.
Yeah, yeah. So shocking, to say the least. I don't think that that is an overstatement. I was very surprised.
Because I'm not reading any reports that he was like a difficult person.
So the one thing that I did read that kind of made it make a little bit more sense, but then you wonder, oh, is this just spin? Was basically like, you know, Dombrowski came into this front office hierarchy that was kind of established under Theo Epstein and continued under Ben Cherington, which was, you know, it's very analytics heavy, very farm system heavy, develop the farm system. Like this is how we want things to work. And as an organization, then they got rid of Cherington and sort of transplanted Dombrowski from the Tigers, who obviously has a very different point of view as like a dude who's been in baseball for many decades, who has, with the Tigers, had this like very extreme win now mentality that he brought with him. And you sort of, it's very hard to argue with like the results of, hey, this guy just won a World Series, which is the ultimate goal. But that's not, for better or for worse, that's not really how front offices generally think these days. It's not about one World Series. It's about, like, especially for the Red Sox as this team with limitless resources, is like they want to be the Dodgers or the Astros or the Yankees, and right now they're not in terms of like that talent pipeline. And I think that, so I think that there, from this article on The Athletic, it was like there was friction in the front office, basically, like the front office below Dombrowski was not in line with Dombrowski in terms of like overall goals.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so, like, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, the sense I got too from reading about it was also that like he's one of those GMs that's a good GM. He's not a good long-term GM, which is kind of what you were saying too.
Yeah.
It's like win now, which is not a good long-term GM.
But which they did.
Yeah.
They won literally as much. Like, that was the best season in Red Sox history last year.
So, I mean, I guess on one end, it might just be like, we would rather not wait. This firing isn't inevitable because we're not going to, under Dombrowski, we can see the end of the road and it's not good. And so why wouldn't you just fire him now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you have a car that's running fine, but there's a lot of rumors that once it hits 100,000 miles, it'll go, it's just like, well, I'll just sell it now. So I don't have to deal with it at 100,000.
For sure.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that that's still, they did just win a World Series.
No,
last
that,
year,
like, but, that's the rationale. But like, you just, you question the rationale of like, okay, but like, you still have an extremely good team. Like, very few of his moves have like flat out blown up
that's
in
the
their
thing,
faces.
Yeah, it's like, hasn't, it's not like he's been making moves that, it's like he didn't make like the Adrian Gonzalez move. Like,
it's like the Chris Sale trade generally worked out. The J.D. Martinez signing worked out.
I mean, who did they get for Manuel Margot? Kimbrel.
Kim Rule,
which definitely worked out.
And Margot hasn't been good. Like Moncada's been good, but they got Chris Sale for him. Like, they, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah, they really have it. Because, yeah, I think the Ringer did, like, a rundown of, like, the best players that he's lost. And Moncada's probably the best one.
Yeah.
And then the point is that they got Chris Sale for him.
Yeah.
So it's like, he hasn't... That's the crazy thing is, like, I think usually when these kind of firings happen, if it's right off the... You could see why it was more transparent as to, like, the flaws.
Yeah.
And this one is just, like... It seems so, like...
I think it comes down to money, really. Like, they have the highest payroll. They're in the luxury tax, and, like, they want to get under the luxury tax. That is not necessarily something that fits his specific skills that he's demonstrated, at least. Like, what he's good at is, like, bringing in big fish. And, like, that's kind of a bummer, right? Because, like, the Red Sox aren't going to lose money this season. Like, even though they've been disappointing, like, they're still printing money from the World Series championship probably. So, like, that's where it is disappointing, is, like, he's one of the few aggressive GMs about improving the major league product. And it's, like, kind of another representation of the way, obviously, the on-field game has changed, but, like, the front office game has changed. And it's, like, much more about sort of A, profit, and B, like, theoretical long term. It's like all corporate.
This CBA,
Wall Street,
this new,
like,
CBA negotiation is going to be it.
It's going to be rough.
Show.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about this stuff, then I end up thinking about that, and I just get
real
sad, because I don't. That's the last part of baseball anybody ever wants to really think about.
Yeah.
Or sports. I mean, you have to be a sports fan, but it's like, that's not why anybody likes sports.
Yeah.
Or most people.
Yeah. Except for maybe front office types these days.
Yeah. But it is crazy. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm not a Red Sox fan. So it's just more of like it's like being at the zoo, you know, like looking in and like, well, look what's happening. It doesn't affect my life at all.
Yeah. It was just so shocking
from
the outside.
Yeah,
like, there was no rumblings of, like, discontent or anything.
And then, like, that coupled with, like, the Epstein stuff, where there were rumblings, but it still seemed crazy the way they handled it.
Yeah.
Is, like, this is two times in, like, what, 10 years that the Red Sox have made crazy front office, like, where people were like, what is going on with these
And
front
that's not even
decisions?
Counting the time that, like, Epstein, like, quit or whatever, and then they convinced him to come
back. Yeah. And it's just like, what? It's just like the Red Sox again are doing these crazy front office things, and you don't know what's... It's so weird.
Didn't they get rid of Lucchino as well in a weird way? Where, like, he and Epstein were, like, the guys, and then Epstein left, and then they sort of, like, forced Lucchino out. Yeah, maybe the Red Sox have a bad owner, and it's been disguised by the fact that they have been really good.
The Red Sox, yeah. Maybe that's... Okay, wouldn't that be... Yeah, he's just Dan Snyder, and we don't know.
Yeah. He's just, like, managed to, like, stay out of the way just enough to... Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Well, I think, like, in a larger sense, obviously it'll be very intriguing to see what direction the Red Sox go in terms of hiring their next GM and how they approach the offseason, because, you know, there's a pretty good chance J.D. Martinez opts out. They have... a lot of money coming off the books, but they want to get under the luxury tax, and they also will need to extend Mookie Betts at some point if they want to keep Mookie Betts.
Which they would be fools not to, unless there's something we don't know about his injury situation.
But it just seems like, you know, maybe the Red Sox are taking a step back for a year or two. It shakes up the AL a little bit if one of these superpowers is going to be dormant for the next couple of years.
It's just like, one thing I don't like about the Red Sox and Yankees is that even the Dodgers at this point, but maybe that's just a different situation. I don't like the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry because I feel like neither of them can do 100% what's maybe best for their club, because they're constantly competing against each other. Like, they they're really the only two teams that have established themselves at such superpower status, like super team status, that like I have a hard time believing that either the Yankees or Red Sox ownership would allow like a true step back season or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think every other club has that luxury.
Right.
And like, it's annoying. I mean, it's like the it's harder for other clubs like the Mets or Dodgers, but I even think the Dodgers could if they needed to, and they kind of did, and then they took this giant leap forward when they got new ownership.
Yeah.
And it feels like the Yankees and Red Sox never can. The Yankees kind of did last year, and then they're just like better than everyone thought they were, or 2 years ago, but it's a little annoying that like it seems like those are the only two teams that are really locked into having to be good every year.
Yeah. I guess what I mean by step back is like, I don't think that, I mean, they have so much talent on the roster. Like they're not going to like,
well, they're
tank,
not gonna, yeah, they're not going to tank, but
it'll just be interesting how they approach this offseason where like, are they really going to let Martinez walk? Like he's been such a part of their lineup. And then if they do, if the point of that is to get under the luxury tax, like what are they going to do? They're just going to like do a bunch of sort of small 1 year deals and then say like, oh, we're competing and we're going to hope that, you know, we're going to hope that Betts is better. We're going to hope that Sale is healthy. We're going to hope that Eovaldi is healthy. Like we're going to hope the bullpen is better. Right. It's like, that is a valid way forward, but a somewhat disappointing way forward as well.
Yeah, but I think they have a harder time getting away with, because like the Cardinals, I think, are like a good version of like, they've been kind of not bad, but not great the last, what, 3 years, two years? But they never strayed. I feel like the Red Sox feel that pressure of like, oh, if 1 year isn't, if we don't win 80 games 1 year. And I think that like every other team can get away with that without having to make like a big move.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about with the Red Sox is like all these 1 year deals that ultimately don't put them in a good
position. I wonder
how
much they care. Like, I mean, I guess the fans of the Red Sox and the Yankees care a lot about the other teams, but like I feel like a bit of the teeth of the rivalry has been taken out over the last decade.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that mostly it's just because they're in that division. I think the Red Sox could have, if they were in a different division, I think that's why all these other teams have the luxury of being able to do that because they don't have, I think it's just the fact that if it's like, if we don't keep up with the Yankees, we're not going to win our division. Mm-hmm. So like that's the only reason. Or one of the, you know what, I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating myself very well, but it just seems like the fact that the Red Sox have to win that division, the Yankees have to win that division, and then they
clash,
and they both almost have like the same approach. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Rays obviously need to beat those two teams, but they're just not even playing the same front office game
as
those other two. And I wish it would be nice if the Red Sox could like say we need like a year to implement a system where we're more like the Rays and we're going to beat the Yankees that way. But it seems like the Yankees and Red Sox feel like they have to play the kind of the same front office game.
Yeah.
And it's changed.
In a way.
It's
I mean, I think the Yankees sort of did do that like Rays thing where they're like, obviously they're not the Rays, but they like the Yankees.
I think you're right. I think the Yankees,
I mean, they
finally
traded
did
for
do that.
Stanton, but they haven't like backed up the dump truck for Harper or Machado. They haven't,
they didn't. And they've built a bullpen on pretty smart in a smart way.
Yeah.
I mean, they've spent money, but you're right. Yeah. I think the Yankees did do that. And I think now that I'm talking about it, the Yankees were supposed to have kind of taken that year or two off, and they just didn't because they surprised us. Yeah,
it's like they were supposed to be bad, and when they were quote unquote bad, they won 86 games.
But everyone
or whatever.
I think they did a good job with it, and I wish the Red Sox could
too. I
think
the Yankees haven't finished below 500 since like 1993 or something like
that. Yeah, I think Buck Showalter was their manager the last time it happened.
Crazy. It's like a quarter of a century.
And it's really funny to think that the Yankees weren't great when I was first into baseball.
Yeah.
Like when they won that World Series in 96, it was kind of like,
it was a
whoa,
big deal.
The Yankees, they're back.
Because like, it was like they had Don, you know, it was like Don Mattingly's team and they were bad the entire time.
Yeah,
they
and
had
like
Don
they
Mattingly.
Had that like Danny Tartable signing and it was like that kind of stuff. And then it's like,
yeah, imagine what it was like that. It was 95. Was that the year where the Mariners beat the Yankees in the division series? And like, it was like, like both teams were kind of like in the playoffs for the first time in like a long time. It was like this. Imagine the Yankees as like upstarts. I guess they kind of were 2 years. Was it last year or 2 years?
When they beat the Indians. Just because of their personnel, but they still had like, I mean, I think the Yankees had lost their luster by the,
because
they hadn't even made it to the World Series since
81. Yeah, and they were sort of overshadowed by Steinbrenner stuff and like the year that Steinbrenner was like suspended from baseball or whatever, even right? Wasn't there a year in the late 80s or early
90s? Yeah, I don't remember, but which is surprising. But it would be crazy to think of people viewing the Yankees kind of how we viewed the Astros 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like that's what it was like in the mid-90s. Not in the same way, because it didn't like rock bottom out, obviously, but it was more of like, oh, this fun.
Yeah, this fun,
crazy team.
Yankees and team. Baseball in New York.
And they're back. I guess I don't know if there's like an equivalent. Like when the Celtics got good again in the mid-2000s, it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, the Celtics, even though they didn't last as long.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe the Yankees have been good for so long. Like our whole lives.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Is there any other sports team that's been this good our whole lives?
Patriots.
But they weren't. That started in like 2000. I guess it was like 5 years later.
Yeah. No, but the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots were like. Yeah, they made the Super Bowl under Pete Carroll and under.
What's his name?
Bill Parcells.
No, they didn't make it under Carroll. Who took him to the Super Bowl against the Packers? I think that was Parcells.
That was Parcells.
Yeah, I don't think they made it under Carroll, but I think they were good.
They were good.
Because Belichick has been there the whole way with this dynasty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess the Patriots, but they weren't, like, on top of the world until that. That's the closest one.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees haven't beat by,
Lakers
like, 4 years.
Lakers until recently, but the Lakers have been really, really bad over the last 4 years.
Yeah, and they had that dip, like, after
Spurs.
Magic retired. Oh, Spurs. Yeah,
Spurs.
You're right. Spurs and Yankees,
yep.
The constants. And there's probably a hockey team that we don't know about because we don't follow hockey.
Yeah. Who cares? Or like, yeah, Manchester United or whatever.
Sure. Other sports.
We're way off the rails talking soccer.
Oh, this is the second mention of soccer?
I know, yeah.
Yikes.
I would like to get into
Me too.
Soccer
I think about
someday.
It all the time. I think about it all the time. It seems fun.
Yeah.
It also seems like also another corrupt system.
Oh, yeah.
To be
they're all
cool. Rugby is the one that I want to get into. If I was going to devote something, I'd get into rugby. Have you watched rugby?
Yeah,
it's so fun.
It's brutal.
It's not that brutal. Football is more brutal than rugby.
You think?
Yeah, like pay attention to how hard rugby people actually like hit each other, and then pay attention to how hard football players hit each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, I guess the lack of pads.
Yeah, I think that
it makes
it's
a difference.
Like, it feels like I don't want to play rugby. It would still hurt. I'm not saying it's not brutal, but I feel like it's like not as savage as it seems like.
Yeah.
When you actually... I love watching rugby. It's like one of my favorite sports.
Next time you want to watch it, invite me over. I'll watch it.
Well, there's so much to figure out. Like where it's on and who the teams are and what most of the
rules
are.
All right, don't stress. It's okay.
Oh,
it's okay.
Out.
All right. Well, I think we're about out of time.
And topics.
Before Waylon has a panic attack on the air. Thank you guys for listening. Please do review us on iTunes. Please visit offthebenchbaseball.com and boardwalkaudio.com for all your podcasting and baseball needs. Thank you to producer Joe for the theme music and Moonbounce for the end music. We'll be back probably next week, but definitely before the end of the season. So thank you guys for sticking with us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.